Holy Scripture of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Paul. Today's reading is from St. Paul's Epistle to the Colossians, chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your heart, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord.
We need to be mindful and thankful that we are still in the midst of our Christmas celebration that will be ending on January 6th with the Feast of the Epiphany. I shared this with you once before. I served in one county that had a large Serbian Orthodox community. In fact, it had the oldest Serbian Orthodox church in the United States built in that community. And what was fascinating with the Serbian Orthodox, there's a large enough community that their tradition seemed to be positively infectious upon the county. So on the main street of this town, after the main Christmas day happens and most of us in mainline Protestant America are taking down our trees somewhere, what, on New Year's Day, right, when the 49ers got 5 and 10 or something like that to go, down comes the tree, it's over. But for them, until actually January 6th, you would go down in the Old Town section and there would still be that spirit of Christmas happening. You would hear the carols and music of Christmas still playing. And in fact, they did not exchange their gifts until January 6th, because that's the celebration of the three wise men. So at any rate, it did give me a perspective of keeping those 12 days alive and well. I especially feel that today. I appreciate also flexibility. I was preparing, as you'll note in your bulletin, to bring the message on the gospel. But this passage from Colossians struck me so much and felt so needed in our time and day that I thought I would teach on that today. First of all, lift up as icebreakers, Shaquille O'Neal is the name given to one of the most dominating players ever in the National Basketball Association. The Shaq likes to play around with other names or monikers. This NBA giant has referred to himself in the past as the Big Continuity, and other times the Big Legendary. And certainly big should be in that term. I believe in his prime, he was over 7 foot 1 inches tall and weighed 325 pounds. That's a force to be reckoned with when you're on the baseline. Sometimes he called himself Shakespeare, because he liked the bard also of Stratford. He liked quoting Shakespeare. But one thing in the article that struck me is he was accepted one of his season's most valuable player awards. And at that time, he was center for the Lakers. And as he accepted that reward, and this is what really struck me, he said, "From this day on, I want to be known as the Big Aristotle." Because Aristotle once said that excellence is not a singular act, it's a habit. You are what you repeatedly do. Well, in the most valuable players in the Christian story, we have the big Apostle Paul. And he said it today in today's passage from Colossians. Paul puts together, so important to look through this, Paul puts together a list of 14 qualities that Christians cannot get enough of. And these qualities are the following: compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, forbearance, forgiveness, love, harmony, peace, unity, thankfulness, wisdom, and praise. What a list, huh? Our call as disciples of Christ is to be awakened and mindful of our behaviors, open our hearts to the Spirit of God, who's continuing in this creative and creating work called a human being, and hoping to develop in them these very qualities that Paul has just listed for us. Now, sometimes these qualities seem to be in short supply. Amen? I didn't think that would be rousing. Especially when we find ourselves overwhelmed by the competing pressures of life. Sometimes we unwittingly adapt to the cold and callous culture that we're in. And sometimes simply we have just lost touch with the one who can supply these spiritual qualities in our life. Well, we are called to reach out and touch and open our hearts to the Spirit of Christ that continues to desire to bear fruits within us and calls us to be mindful that we do not fall down that slippery slope of negativity. It was interesting, on Word, I put these 14 different qualities in a row down, and then I went to the thesaurus on Word, and instead of synonym, looked for their antonym to see what the opposite was. And as I went down that list, you could almost see and feel the swaying of one's spirit, of rather that you are leaning more heavily towards that list that breeds life and gives life and blesses life, or if you're on that slippery slope that begins to bear fruit that is opposite to the desires of Christ. First of all, today, if we're going to hear this word, then the first five characteristics that Paul lifts up, that's compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, are the qualities and characteristics that show the world that Jesus is now alive within us. Those qualities show the world that Jesus is alive in us. And by the term meekness, I don't mean weakness. Meekness is simply power under control. Power that is self-disciplined. Those qualities reveal that Christ is still with us. And I know we are in challenging times. I was reading, I can't believe it, this spring, late spring, will be 20 years anniversary of the Columbine High School shootings in Littleton, Colorado. I couldn't imagine, 20 years. And what struck me as I looked at a note written by a man by the name of Daryl Scott. Daryl Scott was the father of Rachel Scott, and she was a victim of that shooting. And he was actually addressing the House Judiciary Committee. It's a subcommittee. And he wrote the following: since the dawn of creation, there have been good and evil in the hearts of men and women. We all contain the seeds of kindness or the seeds of violence. The death of my wonderful daughter, Rachel Joy Scott, and the deaths of that heroic teacher and the other 11 children who died must not be in vain. Their blood cries out for answers. He went on to say, I am here today to declare that Columbine was not just a tragedy. It was a spiritual event that should be forcing us to look at where the real blame lies. He said, men and women are three-part beings. We all consist of body, mind, and spirit. When we refuse to acknowledge a third part of our makeup, we create a void that allows evil, prejudice, and hatred to rush in and wreak havoc. And he said there, the young people of our nation hold the key. There needs to be a spiritual awakening taking place throughout the nation. We do not need more religion. We do not need more gaudy television evangelists. We do not need more million-dollar church buildings built while people with basic needs are being ignored. We do need a change of heart and a humble acknowledgement that this nation was founded on the principle of a trust in God. And even in the diverse expressions of the many faiths among us that lead us to this place of creating a better world before us and blessing our progeny with greater hope and expectation, not divisiveness, not vitriol, but inspiration of hope and unity in a still broken world. I am so pleased to be a part of First United Methodist here. Because when someone asks the question of me, what we're doing to address this issue before us, that this church sacrificed and created a preschool, that I happen to have my office right in the midst of it. And every day, I see the children being given seeds, planted seeds of these very qualities of compassion and kindness, of humility and patience, and more. I see them respond as they're being fed, not only gifted the tools so they succeed on the next level of their education, but planting the seeds in their hearts that make a difference in terms of true victory and success in living, of loving, of caring. That's making a difference. Secondly, today, Paul then shows us forbearance comes next, an ability to bear with one another, showing tolerance and restraint in the face of provocation. And then next, he lists forgiveness. Forbearance is so important. I was reading an excerpt from Annie Lamott, and I quote her. She said, "I was raised to keep all the family secrets and present myself in such a way that people would either be envious or approving. But keeping up a facade like that takes so much energy." You hear? And she was visiting her Pam, her friend, Pammy, who was actually undergoing chemotherapy and was having a struggle with cancer. And Annie remembers talking to her that day, and for some reason, she focused on the dress that she was wearing. And she said, "Pammy, this dress, it looks ugly on me, doesn't it? I don't look attractive in this, do I?" She said, and I was kind of getting different angles on the mirror where Pammy was sitting behind me and just saying, "Oh, this just doesn't look good." And she goes, at that moment, Pammy said something to her she'll never forget. She described it like one of those cartoons where someone says something in the cartoon and in the bubble above their head, a big hammer comes out, striking them to where they have consciousness and stars. And what Pammy said to her, she said, "Annie, for God's sake, you don't have this kind of time. Life's precious. You don't have this kind of time." And she said, her friend Pammy died 6 years later, and she wrote this some years after that. But she said, from that moment on, there was an incredible change in my consciousness. And I still live by Pammy's words. "You don't have time to live a lie," she wrote. You don't have time to get the world to approve of you. You only have the time to become the person you dream of being. You only have the time to clean out your own mean spots that try to drag you down. You only have time to accept yourself as you are and start getting a little bit healthier so you can be who God needs you to be. It's exhilarating to say, this is really who I am, and I'm not going to pretend just because I have a sneaking suspicion I'm not good enough. I'm to be perfection and imperfections all, the person God has made me to be. And then Paul lifts up, besides that, forbearance, forgiveness. And to be really brief on that, in the midst of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus tells us this powerful message. We are called to forgive the sins of others and have them forgive us as we forgive them. That's a dangerous prayer, because we are saying we desire others to forgive us as we forgive them. And this was one of the things that Jesus was so offended by, or just couldn't grasp, that we who are broken individuals, we who often step on the spiritual toes of others and mental toes of others, so often need forgiveness but don't know how to do it. He had a hard time with that notion. But with God we can. Next, third, virtues 8 and 9, qualities 8 and 9, are love and harmony. That's clear and crucial requirements to repair a fractured and hate-filled world. The peace of Christ comes next, because as we actually love and live in harmony, the peace of Christ is a power that begins to just come into and through us and allows us to have unity in this body, even in our diversity, because we're united in the love of Christ. There was a story that's true and factual of a child that's in that wonderful period where they're 4 and not yet 5. You know that age? Kind of that period, 4, not quite 5. And this is true and factual. It actually happened. This 4, not quite 5-year-old was with his mother in a doctor's office. And as they were sitting there, of course, the child was anxious and kind of wanting to not be there. Amen? And so they were discussing all those great issues, such as, what am I doing here, Mom? Where's the doctor, Ma? How long do we got to be here, Ma? And other things like, why isn't God married, Mom? And things like that. Finally, the little boy asked the ultimate question. And probably representing some of his inner feelings, he said to his mother, why doesn't God ever just get tired and stop? Now, the mother knew this had to be a thoughtful answer. She gave it some time, and then the mother said to the boy, son, God is love, and love never gets tired. You hear what I'm saying? Love never gets tired. I was talking last week with someone that's a new grandmother for the first time. And got to go see her new grandchild for the first time. And to hold that child in her arms. And she said, you know, I thought I had experienced all the love I could ever experience, given all the love I could ever give. I couldn't imagine there'd be ever more in my life. And as I held that child and pulled her close to me and smelt that wonderful perfume, fragrance of life in her, and pulled her gently against my neck, my heart burst open with another level of love that I could not have imagined. Love never is exhausted. Love never gets tired. Love never gives up. So I conclude today by Paul's conclusion. He calls his list this call to be thankful. Then he rounds out the list with wisdom teaching and praise singing and a reminder to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with gratitude in our hearts. So what it's saying, though, Christian living, is a team sport, not an individual activity. Our living out our discipleship is a team sport, not an individual activity. Our children, as they go into the Sunday school with their teacher and interact with us, they may hear the lesson of the day, but what they absorb is the qualities of kindness, compassion, of patience, of love, of harmony. It is these qualities that we live in community and share with others around us, both the children and the adults, that as we go through the struggle and journey of life, we are not alone, for God is with us, and this community of faith supports one another in that passion for Christ, in developing discipleship, and of meeting the world with the Spirit of God in our hearts. And that does make a difference. And so as you begin to clothe yourself for the new year, remember to clothe yourself with the clothing that Paul calls for, and it will be a better year. Thus ends the message. Thanks be to God. And now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the community of the Holy Spirit be with you always.
Thanks for listening to this podcast of the First United Methodist Church in Turlock, California. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons, non-commercial, share-alike license. For more information about our church, visit www.fumcturlock.org or call the church at 209-668-3000. Visitors are always welcome. And now, may the peace of the Lord dwell in your hearts this day. And may God bless you.